Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. My name is Kyla, and this week I am sitting down with a couple of other young adults here at Trinity, and we're just going to talk a little bit about their faith journey and specifically how that intersects with their families and their cultural background, being, you know, kids of Chinese immigrants. So I think that'll be a really interesting, really helpful conversation. So maybe can we start over here? Can you just introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, my name's Jesse. I've been here at Trinity for about like 15 years or so. I run one of the life groups for young adults, and yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, okay. And what about for you?
I'm Melissa. I've only started going to Trinity, I think, just like 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. But I am also part of Jesse's life group, and it's just been wonderful here. Like, okay. I love it here so much.
Good, yeah. So maybe we can just start, and you can tell us a little bit about your family's sort of backgrounds. So as I said, you both come from parents who are immigrants to Canada from a Chinese background. So maybe, tell us a little bit about that story. You want to start,
yeah, sure.
Jesse?
Yeah, so for my parents, they came from Hong Kong, so I'm from Hong Kong descent. I was born here in Canada, though, in terms of, like, I think my parents came here in Canada roughly around late 1970s or early 1980s. It was, like, one of the first waves, I think, of Hong Kong expats before Hong Kong was passed over from British rule to communists, and so that's part of the reason why they came over here.
Right.
And it's interesting because they actually met through church as well.
Okay.
I think it was in a church in Peterborough, and yeah, so that's kind of like the background for me when it comes to where my parents from or anything, and kind of tied to their faith as well.
Okay.
For, you know, how they start our family.
Okay. So they immigrated here sort of separately and then met once they were in Canada. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And what about for your family, Melissa?
So my family and I, we immigrated to Canada from China when I was 2 years old, so in 2001. And we, you know, they met in China, were married in China, I was born there. And when we came here, my parents, they're not Christian, but they did bring me to a church, a Chinese Christian church, just to find, kind of be part of community, which is something a lot of people from immigrant backgrounds do, because churches are kind of like, you know, welcoming, they don't turn people away, and so that's where I kind of was introduced to God.
Okay. And, yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. So for you, Melissa, you said, you know, your parents didn't come from a Christian background, but you were introduced through this church. So, like, what has faith sort of looked like in your life?
Yeah, it's interesting because thankfully I'm very blessed that my parents, even though they personally have not given their life to Jesus, they are very encouraging and accepting of my faith. And I know that's not a story that everyone has. So even though I love going to church, I wanted to get involved. Even when I was baptized, my mom and dad were both there. So, sometimes it's just like me having to take this step, but I have been fortunate in having supportive parents. And I fully believe that God will reveal himself to them one day. And I'm praying for that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And what about for you, Jesse? What has your sort of faith journey with your family looked like?
Oh, it's kind of like quite the opposite, where I'm lucky enough to be born and raised in a Christian family. So, like I said, for both my parents, since they met in church and everything, when they did have me and my sisters, we were basically raised in the faith, especially in regards to, like, kind of the exposure in general. So we went to, like, church every Sunday, a lot of stuff when we were exposed to the kids, like, you know, VeggieTales, I think was most kids back in the 90s, how they had Christian content kind of provided for them. And then we also had, like, you know, devotions and other stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's always kind of been a big part of the backdrop for me, though. I would say, I think with, like, many people who are born of the faith, you do have to actually take your time to actually commit yourself to Christ. And for me, I don't think I really took my faith seriously in terms of having ownership of, you know, moving forward in my own faith journey until roughly around grade 4 and 5 for myself. So there was some time before I really got to that point.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because you're both, you know, you're coming from different places, but the sort of commonality is like that the church provided you with a sense of community, right? Mm-hmm. And especially, like you said, your parents met at a church, right, Jesse? So there's that sense of like, as you sort of said really, really nicely, Melissa, like when immigrants are coming in and looking for community, like church is a place that really provides that. That's really cool. Are there ways that you think that your sort of cultural background has influenced the way that you express your faith or the beliefs that you have?
I would say that I mean, I can only speak for people who are coming from kind of like a Chinese or East Asian background, but I believe that this sentiment carries across for like all Asian Christians, which is that when you think of someone who's Christian, you don't visualize someone who is a basically someone who's Chinese, because I think Christianity has been seen as more of like a Western religion, right? And sure. I think just having kind of like that idea, because Christianity, it's not a Western religion, it's literally not, that, you know, when you say I'm Christian and they're like, oh, but you're also Chinese, right? And it's just like, well, why can't those be the same things? And I think it is because like people don't associate Chinese people with being Christian or people from East Asian backgrounds as being Christian. And I think that sometimes has impacted me, where sometimes I'm like, oh, like very young, I'm like, this is something that doesn't go together. Or like, I think it doesn't go together because I'm not seeing that on the media or around me, right?
Yeah.
But then really God was just like, as I grew closer to him, just realizing that like there's no nationality or ethnicity or background associated with Christianity. Christianity is for every single person. Jesus died for every single person. And I think it's important to break down those like stereotypes associated with Christianity, because it can be a disservice to people who are coming from a Chinese background.
Right.
And they might start questioning if they can be Christian. It's like, you can be. So I think in that aspect, sometimes being Chinese might caused a bit of tension when I was younger, but God really led me through that.
Yeah, for sure. And you said when you sort of first came, you were attending a Chinese church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so are there ways that like that experience is different than being, you know, Trinity is not a Chinese church. Mm-hmm. There are some folks of different Asian backgrounds, but it's predominantly white, right? So,
yeah.
So how has that been different for you?
Again, I can only speak for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
It hasn't been too different because I did grow up in Mississauga, which is incredibly diverse. So
right.
I think it's always been something that doesn't, like, if I'm in a space where there's not many Chinese people or there are many Chinese people, I'm like, I'm cool with it either way.
Sure.
I think it's just, I fell in love with Trinity just because everyone's so warm and you give back to the community.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What about for you, Jesse? Are there ways that you feel like your cultural background, your family background has shaped your faith?
Yeah, it's interesting because compared to Melissa's experience, I felt maybe because starting off even for my first school, it was a Christian private school and it was very diverse in that one too. So I didn't quite have the same experience in terms of like coming to grips with it, seeing as like a Western religion. I felt like it was quite broad when it came to ethnicity, because like there's so many people in my school that, you know, overcame, rather they're black, they're Chinese, they're white, it didn't really matter. But I feel like in terms of like my actual Chinese background, the funny part is that like for most first generation Chinese immigrants, I'd be considered a banana. So yellow on the outside, white on the inside.
Okay.
I definitely have some aspects of that. But I think one of the things I did kind of inherit culturally speaking was kind of the and this kind of ties more to a lot of East Asian cultures as well, that deference to authority, especially regarding your elders and family.
Right.
And so that's one thing that me and my younger sister always found weird when it came to when we heard people's struggles, like, oh, you know, sometimes I feel like I want to like blame God for stuff, like, especially if, like, let's say things bad happen or things don't pan out the way you wanted. And from our perspective, it's like you never blame the person who's like on top almost. You always say, like, oh, well, it must be something wrong with me, right?
Oh,
so me and my sister always be like, oh, like we never blame God if something went wrong or we were unhappy with something that happened or he didn't necessarily answer our prayers. We're like, oh, maybe it's something about maybe I'm not worthy enough or maybe God's punishing me because I'm sinful. Which is like a double-edged sword. It's good in the sense that you never really, so in the case where, you know, stuff didn't go my way, didn't undermine my faith in God, but it was also not a healthy mindset in the sense that it could lead to like potential self-pity or loathing. And that was something I had to kind of like navigate myself through in early on in my faith journey before I came to realize, well, that's not really the way to think about it.
Yeah,
but that was kind of like the default based on kind of the Chinese cultural background I was raised with my parents.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's really interesting to think about, how those power dynamics play a role, right, in our faith. And I think, just so interesting. Even I think that, like, for folks like myself who sort of grew up, because I grew up in rural Nova Scotia where, like, everybody, not everybody, but most people looked like me and we all sort of had it was rather homogenous in a lot of senses, right? So we always sort of, I never really had to stop and reflect on, like, how does my culture influence my faith? Because they just, like, everybody was doing the same thing, right? So then to think about, oh, like, this is how, our cultural perspectives really do make a difference in, like, how we understand God and how we experience faith. Yeah. Are there other beliefs or other sort of practices that sort of stand out to you in terms of, you know, how you think about your faith?
Honestly, like, I feel like some aspects of it's like, for example, like the holidays.
Okay.
So like it's interesting because like for Chinese New Year, usually it's more, you know, within the like the zodiac stuff and everything.
Sure.
But if anything, it's funny because for our family, we kind of use it as another excuse to like thank God for stuff.
Okay.
So it's almost like another Thanksgiving, but you know, Chinese oriented.
Right. Okay.
So like we shift a little bit away from like the Chinese focused myths towards just using that more of a reason to praise God instead. So there's cases like that where we kind of almost Christianize parts of the Chinese cultural events that we have. Not to say like we ignore it entirely,
sure.
But like obviously that's more of a focus rather than necessarily some of the more traditional aspects. Though we still, it's mainly the food for us and the reason to come together as family, and then celebrate God for what He's given us as well. So I think that's one example I think off the top of my head.
I would say, so, you know, my family, we do celebrate Chinese New Year as well. We celebrate the Mid-Autumn Festival, and that's just food. We just kind of eat it.
Yeah.
In terms of kind of like the more traditional aspects and like, you know, the reasons, like you said, the zodiac or like the moon, myself and my parents and I, we don't really know too much about that. It's not something that they really taught me when we came to Canada. So it is like I have a lot more knowledge about like Canadian holidays than I do about Chinese holidays.
Right.
But I think it's important that, you know, whether you're coming from a Chinese background or from any background that's not Eurocentric and you're celebrating holidays that are not Canadian holidays, you can still include God in that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like if we're celebrating a new year according to this other calendar, like you said, like still give thanks to God for a new year, thank God for the food, for the community, for the people. I think just really just keeping God at the center of everything you're doing, and just also being mindful too that maybe there's some things you're not fully comfortable with, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You can just say no to that.
For sure And I know, so you mentioned your parents came from Hong Kong, and is your family from mainland China?
Mainland China.
Yeah, okay. So Jesse, you were mentioning to me before, like, in your family, you speak Mandarin?
Cantonese.
Cantonese. Yeah. And your family speaks Mandarin.
Yeah.
Okay. So are there ways that you think that your language background has sort of influenced your faith? I mean, I know, if you've been attending, you know, English-speaking churches, that might not be as much of a thing. But I know sometimes when I go and visit people in other countries, like, the way that they think about God is different because of the language that they use to think about God. So are there ways that is also true for you guys?
I would say personally for me, because I have, you know, I'm more English speaking than I am Mandarin. That is the language I feel more comfortable.
Okay.
You know, listening to sermons, and that I don't really know if it might be different if someone were saying a sermon in Mandarin or Cantonese. Maybe that's something my parents can speak on since they're more fluent in that language. I would say that something that's interesting is, you know, even the Bible itself, it wasn't originally written in English,
right? Yeah.
But by being translated to English, some of the words did lose the nuances and complexities that the words had in maybe Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic. And so I sometimes wonder, you know, because there are some words in Mandarin that you just don't have words for in English.
Right.
That I wonder if it maybe it could translate closer to the original text of the Bible if it is in Mandarin, or maybe it's a little bit different and you have to look at it through more of a Chinese context. So I think that's something that I think I would love to experience if I were to grow my Mandarin speaking skills.
Yeah.
I think I'm in a similar spot to Melissa, because there's a reason why I said a banana. So that functionally also means that I'm almost like illiterate when it comes to Cantonese sometimes.
Okay.
So a lot of my information comes from my dad, who's actually fluent in everything.
Right.
And so it's interesting because like sometimes he tells me like the literal translations, for example, when we call God in Cantonese, it's Tien Fu. right? Okay. Which is basically like sky god.
Okay.
And
okay.
Then, but then it's interesting because then they also, when they say like for Jesus, it's Yeso, which is like, I think supposed to like be similar to like Yeshua,
okay.
which is like closer to the original, I think like Jewish Aramaic that you
right.
would use to, I guess, say name Jesus' name. So it's interesting seeing different parts where like it's literal just like, okay, we're just going to use like Chinese words for this. And then other ones where like they try to kind of like anglicize it in,
right.
In the way they actually say the name. So again, I don't know about like the content, so I definitely
sure.
ask more on that. But the only thing I can kind of bring up with, and this is a weird tidbit that's funny because I think this is less to do with like the language itself and probably the
sure.
context of like when I guess Christianity is viewed through a different lens. This is a little bit different because like this is obviously tinged by the communist version on the mainland.
Sure.
But like I know that they rewrite parts of the Bible that didn't actually happen for there.
Right.
But those are like the state sponsored ones, not the underground churches, I would think are legitimate.
Right.
So just to give you an example, it's a really bad one. This is one that came up because I took an East Asian course and they talked about the Bible there. There's, you know, the part where, you know, they were gonna stone the woman for I think being a prostitute or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah,
right?
For adultery.
So
yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, let he without sin cast first stone.
Right.
And so it's funny for that one because I think they changed it to say like they actually ended up stoning her instead. And
oh.
So it's like, oh, and they tried flaming her in the context of like, oh, no one's perfect, so you can do it, you can just do it anyways. I was just like, oh, that's wrong.
That's very different
bad,
than the
very
Jesus.
Bad.
That
I know.
Yeah.
So it was just interesting. I was like, wow, okay, they changed a lot.
yeah. Interesting. Yes. Well,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you're obviously folks coming from Chinese backgrounds, but you're also young adults
yeah.
hanging out here in our church. And so I think sometimes that also creates differences in the way that we experience our faith versus, you know, kids, obviously, or versus,
mm-hmm.
you know, older adults. So what do you think, like, how has your experience at this age being in this sort of community, how has that shaped your faith?
Because when I was younger and I was reading the Bible, I'll be honest, like I was in high school, like middle school, reading KJV, and I was like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm just going to keep reading.
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
But I think now that, and so when I was younger, a lot of times like following God, it did feel a little bit like Jesse said, like, I had to, or I was going to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was looking at through a lens where I didn't have a lot of, you know, adults that were kind of guiding me. So I was just trying to understand it myself. But now being an adult and I know that there's versions other than the KJV and I can
right.
read and I can learn, it's like I feel really, really grateful to be in this place where I know more about who God is and
mm-hmm.
I see his love all around me. And I think that's something that, you know, how you understand God and the Bible when you're younger is different than how you understand God and the Bible when you're older. I think I've understood more about God's love now that I'm older
mm-hmm.
and understand that I also can be a light for other people.
Sure.
You know, that Jesus can work through me for other people. When I was younger, I didn't really see that. I think
sure.
I didn't feel like as a kid I could.
Yeah. What about for you, Jesse?
Yeah, no, I think a big part of the kind of being in your faith journey as a young adult compared to maybe when you were younger, I feel like it's a lot more communal now because everyone's at kind of roughly at that life step where you have all had these experiences and everyone has different parts of their faith journey, but everyone's really open to kind of sharing and supporting one another.
Sure.
I feel like obviously when you're like going through Sunday school or, you know, other stuff, you're kind of just going in there for like
right.
the Sunday and you just don't really see each other outside of that. I know
yeah.
youth group also exists, but I feel like it's quite different once you're actually, you know, actually you're intentionally meeting every week.
Yeah.
When you have a work life and you have all this other stuff happening
yeah.
and you're actually setting aside and everyone kind of knows you know, how life is. And I think we're also a lot more open to saying like, hey, we need help with this, or we can actually have deeper discussions.
Right.
That's kind of facilitated by us more so than the church itself. Like, obviously, we're still meeting within the church and we're part of the larger
right.
church community. But I think that makes a big difference to really, you know, grow in your faith alongside other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's that aspect of like chosen community
mm-hmm.
versus like youth group is like great. And
yeah.
you like get all of these different people together. But when you're still living under your parents' like rules and house,
yeah,
like
yeah.
it's like, okay, I'm gonna go because like somebody's forcing me to
yeah,
go.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like facilitated for you, right?
Yeah.
But this is like, again, like I think that found aspect of that group and choosing to be part of that community and building it with your own, it's a lot more, I think, intimate because of that, because mm-hmm. you can see the different parts of the group that you've contributed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I mean, like, for you too, Melissa, like, you know, you don't have a family that's, like, pressuring you into church, right? And so you are, yeah, you're choosing that community.
Yeah, if anything, it's, if you guys meet my mom, it's more so me being like, Mom, let's go to church.
Right.
And I think that's something that, you know, not even just for people who are coming from a non-Christian family, even just anyone coming from any Christian family, that even, you know, when you're younger, the understanding that you have about God and actually having that relationship with Jesus is something that I think you can make that decision multiple times in your life and ultimately dedicate yourself to Jesus, whether you're a kid or an adult. But I definitely think that, you know, when you are in a community of like-minded people, it kind of reaffirmed that, like, yeah, like, I don't have to go through this alone.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm. can be around other people. And not only that, I can also be a light for other people that mm-hmm. they could maybe they're like, oh, okay, now I want to come to church, and they learn about Jesus. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to get to do that in a community of people like we... So I'm also in this life group that the two of you are in.
Yeah.
So to get to do that, like, in a community of people who, like, have some similarities, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're all in sort of similar life stages and have some similar experiences, but also, like, are so diverse, mm-hmm. right? Like, people diverse ethnically, diverse, like, in terms of, you know, work and schooling background and all of these things, like... Yeah, I think it really enriches our faith,
yeah,
right? Definitely. It gives us this space where we get to figure it out together and we get to, like, learn from each other, mm-hmm. right? And see, like, oh, like, I never would have thought about it that way. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, this experience that you're bringing in, like, helps to illuminate the scripture in a new way. Yeah.
I agree. And I think, you know, again, I can only speak for myself, but when I was younger, I saw, you know, Christianity kind of like in a one-size-fit-all kind of thing.
Sure.
But now that I've grown, and even just being in life group and being in Trinity, just understanding that, like, you can come from so many different backgrounds, but what connects us all is just Jesus. It's
right.
Jesus, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you don't have to be like another person to call yourself a Christian. And yeah, I'm grateful to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
No, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super cool. I think this has been a really sort of helpful way for us to start to understand what it looks like to bring our whole selves mm-hmm. into our faith. Right. You know, you reflected, Melissa, on this point that, like, you know, at one point maybe you thought, like, oh, Christianity isn't for someone like me, someone mm-hmm. who looks like me or has my background. But you found a home in it. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And something I just, like, love, like, learning about, I just love learning about history and just learning about how the church spread and the missionaries and,
yeah.
You know, not even just, like, for China, even just, like, for, like, other countries as well. This, I think someone might need to fact check me, but I believe it was St. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, who actually brought the gospel to India, you know?
Right.
So, and that was something I didn't know, because I just automatically assumed, like, oh, it just went to North America. But no, there's such a rich, deep history of Christianity
yeah.
all over the world, and there's Christians literally in every single country.
Right.
There's, you know, Christians who are being persecuted for their faith, who are dying for their faith, who have to, like, are in prison for their faith or have to kind of, like, hide it
yeah.
So that they aren't, you know, imprisoned or killed. And I think it's just, like, if anyone who maybe it's from a Chinese background, from a background that's different than what they've seen in the media when it comes to Christianity, I just want to say, like, explore that, because, like, Christianity is for you. You know,
mm-hmm.
Jesus
mm-hmm.
is for you. And ultimately, it's God's will that not... oh my gosh, I don't want to say the verse wrong, but it's like God, he doesn't intend for any of his children to be lost, right?
Right,
no,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's just... Christianity's for you. It doesn't matter where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you were talking about, you know, Thomas or whoever it was that brought the gospel, like, to India, I was thinking, like, Christianity never started in North America. No. Christianity didn't even start in, like, Great Britain or something. It started in the Middle East.
Yeah, exactly.
Christianity was in Africa before it went anywhere else, right?
Yeah.
And the Ethiopian Bible is older than the KJV Bible, you know? So I think that when we perpetuate, you know, I think people maintain the stereotype that Christianity, again, is a Western religion.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to break that down, because if we don't break that down, it can make a lot of people feel like Christianity isn't for them, and then the meaning of the gospel gets lost, right? Because Jesus died for all of us.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. it's so great to, just recognize that Jesus was for everybody, right? Jesus was not just a one dude looking for everybody to be exactly like Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, like Jesus, but not like Jesus in ethnicity or language or any of those like superficial labels.
Yeah, it's not, there's not a cookie cutter approach when it comes to it, right? Yeah. And so you can come as you are to Jesus where you're at. And I think that's the biggest part, is that it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in.
Yeah.
God is always open there for you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Yeah. Well, thank you both very much.
Thanks
this
for
has
having
been
us.
A really good conversation. Yeah. And thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. I hope that you have also been able to find some hope and some encouragement to figure out what Jesus looks like for you and how you are also called to be part of this beautiful, diverse family. And we'll see you next week.